to this chapter 40. We're going to actually pick up in chapter 39 a little bit, and we'll see. Had a little technological issues this morning, but I think we've got straightened out. I don't know if they have the PowerPoint back there or not, or we're able to open it, but you might have to, hey, there you go. Listen and see with your ears, but I guess you have your eyes. That'll be helpful this morning. And just interesting as we look at Genesis chapter 40 and we think about Joseph. And this is the point at which he's about 11 years away from being sold into slavery into Egypt by his brothers. And a lot of what we see in Joseph's life leading up to this and even at the end of the chapter is waiting. Just waiting and trying to figure out even a title for this. I thought I was going to write waiting for God's will. And then I started thinking, we don't really wait for God's will. We believe that God's will is being accomplished all the time. It's just that we can't see or maybe don't know what the end result of that is. And sometimes it's difficult for us. Sometimes it's frustrating for us. And we face some challenges. And we see Joseph as he waited. He'd been given some indication of maybe what was ahead for him. And the things hadn't turned out even remotely close to the way maybe he anticipated it. But he waits. And so we will see God's faithfulness and Joseph's faithfulness as he waits and God's will is being accomplished. Before we dig into the word, let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, these passages of Scripture that are narrative, and we look at people's lives, we can't really begin to understand and fully grasp what it is that they are thinking or why they did what they do, but yet we can look at their lives and in some ways put ourselves in those places to look at their situation, and Lord, ours isn't exactly the same. Or we might feel some of the same things they felt. We might ask some of the same questions they asked. And Lord, we need to be reminded of some of the things that they were reminded of. And so we thank you for your word and for making yourself known to us in it. And we just pray that this time that we spend together would just be a wonderful time of encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, we're going to jump back a little bit to Genesis chapter 39, and just catch verses 19 through the end of the chapter, and then read into chapter 40, realizing that Joseph, just like us, is living one day at a time. Just one day at a time. We said he's 11 years removed from his brothers selling him into slavery. And he's falsely and wrongly accused, and now he's thrown into prison, and he's just waiting there. This is in verse 19. Now when his master heard the words of his wife, that's Potiphar referring to his wife who had falsely accused Joseph, which he spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place in which the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail. So whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. And we look at that interesting that we see in Joseph's life, just living one day at a time. He was in a different location, but he had the same results. another location in the same results. If we would go back in Joseph's story, we realize even in, when he was back with his father, we have some indication that maybe Joseph had some skill as an administrator. He could organize things and put things together. Maybe he wasn't out with his brothers doing sheep because his job was in the house. It wasn't out of laziness. I don't want to work with smelly animals. No, he had some skill to manage things in the house. Well, his brothers didn't like it, sold him into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house. And what do we read? What do we find as we go on? That God blessed everything that Joseph did, and he was given charge over the entire house. Again, maybe some skill as an administrator, demonstrating someone who was well-organized, someone who was a hard worker and put things together to the point that Potiphar didn't worry about anything that was in his house because Joseph could take care of it all. And he could just trust him because of this faithfulness and because of the work that he did. And now we find in the jailer at the end of chapter 39 the same thing. The jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners. Whatever was done there, Joseph was in charge. He didn't supervise anything under Joseph's charge. So we see that same result. Joseph was blessed. Hard to imagine. Begin a pit and you end in jail to be able to look at your life and say, man, I have been so blessed in the way that God has blessed me here. This is so good. And I can see and I can feel God's hand upon me as I labor and as I work. See, some would say, no, I'm in prison. This is bad. But Joseph, we see these good things happen. The same things are happening all the time. And we look at it, even though it's a different location, really it's the same reason. The same reason. We talked about it. You know, as people observed, we see the jailer, the chief jailer, looked at Joseph. And he saw in him that character that was needed, that was necessary to be in charge of all the other prisoners. You know, Potiphar had seen that. He was trustworthy. And we even see it's interesting in here to look at that. The chief of the bodyguard. When we look earlier, the chief of the bodyguard was actually Potiphar. And some say that maybe these prisoners, the king's prisoners, may have been kept in a prison in Potiphar's house. Or the chief of the bodyguard. So Joseph may have been imprisoned right there. Which makes me wonder whether or not even Potiphar heard the story that his wife told, still had enough respect for Joseph. Whether in the back of the mind, I don't know if I can believe that whole story or not. But yet Joseph went to prison according to God's plan, but he wasn't executed. And even here within the jail that Potiphar maybe was over, the prison, the chief jailer, found respect for Joseph in his eyes. And God was blessing over and over and over again. And now these officials. Somebody said, look at a cupbearer and a baker. How important can the cupbearer and the baker be in the scope of an entire kingdom here? Well, we'd say, well, that's not very important. So you serve the drink and you serve the bread. Well, if you go back a few chapters, what was the only thing that Joseph was not in charge of for Potiphar? The only thing he wasn't in charge of was the food that he ate. He was over the whole house, but he was not in charge of the food that he ate. These men would have been relatively high ranking. They suggested, well, one, you got to trust these guys a lot to make sure they're not going to poison you or do you in while you're enjoying a meal. They also suggest that these guys were a little bit like trusted friends. They would come in, and because of how trustworthy they were and the deep level of trust that a Pharaoh would have, or in Joseph's case, Potiphar would have over them, You could share anything. They had the highest security clearance that anybody could possibly have. You know, and these men, significant prisoners, they were put into Joseph's charge. Right? And it just demonstrates to us the confidence that men had in Joseph. And some of that maybe because of him, a lot of that because the Lord made him prosper. There's kind of a conclusion in this section just to look at. It's a consistent character in any circumstance finds favor. Consistent character in any circumstance finds favor. Joseph was consistent. He was faithful. He continued to trust the Lord. And he found favor. One, in the eyes of God, where the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor. He made whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. God showed him favor. We also see men showing Joseph favor because of his consistent character. Well, as we move on, we'll answer the question, what's in a dream? What's in a dream? We see in verses, beginning in verse 5 as we continue to read. Then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night. Each man with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. He asks Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" Then they said to him, "We have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. And as it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me in the dungeon." The next dream, beginning in verse 16, when the chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, "I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top basket there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you, and you will will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off of you." So they actually come to Joseph and said, "We have had a dream," which is kind of interesting because how many dreams were had? 2 dreams? "But we've had a dream." They understood collectively there were enough similarities. There was enough that they shared in common, even having them on the very same night, that they said there's probably more to this than just, you know, I ate something I shouldn't have ate last night before I went to bed. They got it. They said, "Hey, there's something that's going on here." Which then we can take that and go back. I think Pastor Jonathan explained it as well when Joseph had the dreams that he had about the sheaves of wheat and his brother's sheaves bowing down to him, and then the stars and the sun and the moon bowing down. You know, he would look at those things and understand there's something more to it than just, you know, it's a story. It's just simply a dream. And that's where Joseph, interesting, is it reveals, even going back a little bit, just talking about his character. We understand with Joseph as he looks at them. He's taking care of them. He's paying attention to all the details. He realized these men are dejected. There's something wrong, and Joseph comes to them and he shows them compassion. He shows them care. Again, day by day, just simply doing his job, caring for people, not wallowing in his own misery, but wanting to serve others in theirs. But as they came and asked him, he took one dream at a time. And in these dreams, the future is revealed. In his dreams, the future is revealed. We don't know exactly what the offense is that these two men were guilty of. For whatever reason, whether the Pharaoh had lost faith in them, wasn't sure he could trust them to serve them his food anymore. Some people suggest maybe it was one event that they both shared. I think because of the two different results, I'm not sure it was the one event, or it was one event and they didn't know who was responsible. But at the end of the day, it's revealed who was the one that was responsible. But either way, as we look at it, we see this dream to the cupbearer. And Joseph realizing interpretations belong to God. Again, reflecting on his character, and I think reflecting a little bit on his past. I think it's important to see there that it's even he looks back to his dreams, two dreams that were very, very parallel to one another. Two dreams that were given to him would suggest that there was something that was going to happen and he was going to be exalted. He looks and says, well, interpretations come from God. Maybe he's questioning the interpretation, or he looks at it and says, I don't have any idea what God meant in those dreams or how he's going to accomplish it. All I know is what he has revealed. All I know is what he's made known to me. And again, day by day, Joseph is just trusting and walking and being faithful, waiting for God to make clear to him what all of that meant. I think we can see that just in his attitude and his understanding of revelation in that way. But we do get to the future. It's revealed the cupbearer to begin with. He gets the dream, finds out there were the three vines, 3 days. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be restored and things are going to be good again. Just again, just to look at Joseph, you know, to realize as he interprets this dream through God's help for the cupbearer, Joseph sees the cupbearer's deliverance. He can predict it, but he has still no idea about his own. He's giving someone else an answer, but he still has no idea when his deliverance might take place. In the second dream, the future is revealed. It's much like the first. The baker, which is interesting too, the cupbearer is in there sharing with Joseph, hey, I didn't do anything wrong either. And I'm here hoping that my life doesn't end because I'm falsely accused. Well, the baker, well, Pharaoh is determined that he's guilty. And it's interesting even that, well, when he found out that Joseph gave a good interpretation to the cupbearer, maybe the baker's hoping that there is a favorable interpretation for him as well. Maybe even in spite of the fact that he knew of his guilt. But we find out the baker's executed. His life is taken from him. Some look at that, you know, they think, well, was he hung? Well, he couldn't have been hung if he cut off his head. He could have hung him by his feet. We don't know all the details there. All we know is that he was hung from a tree and the birds ate his flesh. He was guilty of whatever it is he had been accused. And he got the just punishment for those actions. Again, in all of these things, again, just even kind of wondering, even as Joseph is sitting there and seeing these things, giving these interpretations and watching things work out, you know, still waiting and waiting. These guys, in 3 days, they were going to have their answer. One good and one not good. But yet it was clear, and it was according to their actions. In a lot of people's minds, it just would make sense. Maybe for Joseph, as we look at it, and I think it was really good when Pastor Jonathan mentioned, we look at this and say, you know, we see all the way through Genesis 50, and you know how it's going to work out. You can sit here pretty comfortably when you know what the ending is. Joseph didn't have the ending. All he had was the hope of what God had told him. And he's hoping, and he is waiting. But as their future is revealed, we also see in the middle between these two dreams that the interpretation of the past is recalled. We talked about Joseph looking at his situation and realizing, hey, keep me in mind when you go back to Pharaoh and say something that might get me out of this house. He says, I was kidnapped. I was brought here from my home. And I didn't do anything wrong that I should be in jail. And he's just sharing his story. And maybe, like we said, just even in giving them their answers and in talking with them, interpreting these dreams, thinking back to his own dreams, he's thinking about his past. He's thinking about those dreams that God gave that suggested some exalted position. So maybe some great and noble thing that God had planned for Joseph. But Joseph is a long, long away from those prophetic dreams. Joseph, recalling his past, maybe longing to be able to go back to see his father. You know, again, we can look forward and realize maybe even at this point, after 11 years, forgiving his brothers and saying, I'd like to see my brothers, even the ones that threw me in the pit and treated me so miserably. He says, I want to be out. I want to be free. And he's making this request, thinking about his past. You know, we look at this and say, we're not going to have dreams that tell us what the future holds. You know, and we're not going to have dreams that as we interpret them, we think back and look at our past. But yeah, we, much like Joseph, are going to examine our own lives. We're going to read God's truth as it is revealed, that we might know what he has said. And the most important thing, just about his grace through Jesus Christ, all who believe and call upon his name have hope in God's promise of an eternal life with him, a redemption that will be completed when Christ returns and brings all of his own to himself. And we see what a wonderful, wonderful future that is. An exalted, glorious, wonderful hope. But yet, some may look as I know what that hope is, but I'm facing trials, I'm facing difficulties, I'm suffering. Some wrongly think that, you know, life is a bed of roses when I trust in Christ as my Savior, because nothing bad will ever happen to me again. You know, the missions conference, I appreciated that from Joel Rinderknecht. Just the quote that if we think that nothing, You know, that when we get saved, we're immediately transferred to Disneyland. We're going to be so, so frustrated. I said, no, that's not the case. But yet we know what we've been transferred to a glorious kingdom of light, into God's family, and that comes through Jesus Christ. We have a far greater hope and promise than what Joseph even has, as God has made himself known to us in his word and made us known him, drawn us to him through Christ's death and through grace and by faith in him. And that's where we are. And we realize confidence in trial is found in God's truth. God's given us his truth. Joseph is giving them the truth of what's going to happen. He tells the truth of what happened to him. There's no reason why I ought to be here. And there's a lot of hope, but part of that truth is what God shared with him in the past. What he knew had been promised 11 years, maybe more than that, ago. Even though now it's hard to see how we were going to get there. He knew if God said it, it was done. We see Joseph in these dreams. Just the hope that he even would have had, and maybe thinking, this is my chance. It wouldn't have been wrong for him to think, this is it. God is working, and he's going to get me out of here. I've met someone of significant influence, and this is the answer I've been praying for. This is the answer I've been waiting for. Well, we'll begin. We'll pick it up in verse 20, and we see the dust settles. Dreams have all been interpreted. 3 days have come. Some say, well, it was just, you know, not hard for Joseph to predict that in 3 days they were going to be released, because it says, thus it came about on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So we see, first of all, the interpretation was right. Interpretation was right, which makes sense, because as Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? We see that God has blessed him, that Joseph has had found favor with God. God was continuing to work in and through Joseph to accomplish some good, great things. Maybe not in the location that Joseph would have imagined, but yet great things. Well, God gives the answer, and God caused it to happen, just exactly the way it was interpreted. Which then is interesting, because we realize, even though the interpretation was right, that Joseph was not released. Kind of hard to believe. The dreams had been interpreted 3 days ago. And one request, Joseph, just remember me when you go to Pharaoh. Mention me and see if you can get me out of this house. Well, in 3 days, he forgot everything. He must have been about 52 years old. Starting to forget things. Something that significant and that monumental. You know, your life is in the balance. And someone interprets a dream accurately and you forget about that guy. Even as we look at that and to realize again at God's providence, about God's sovereignty in all things, I'm not sure that we can necessarily just say the chief cupbearer forgot Joseph just because he was so busy, just because he got caught up in the excitement of the moment. But we look at it even to realize it took, when we jump into chapter 41, at the end of two full years Joseph was going to spend still in that prison. Maybe the chief cupbearer divinely forgot about Joseph because God's time had not arrived to do the work that God intended to do through Joseph, which again is just not an easy thing to grasp or take. You know, I haven't had too many sufferings that have lasted for 13 years. I'm not sure I've had to have any sufferings that have lasted for 13 years. But yet, whatever small suffering I go through, it can't be over fast enough. But the patience to wait for the Lord to accomplish whatever it is that He is doing. We just, again, just a testimony to Joseph. Just to keep going day by day by day. And in that we see that faith in what God has determined gives hope when deliverance is delayed. Again, Joseph saw the deliverance. He saw that dreams can happen and they're accomplished within 3 days. And good can happen or bad can happen. Why does mine have to take 11 years? And not only has it just taken a while to get there, there have been some pretty low times along the way. Maybe thinking and preparing to die when he was in the pit. Not knowing where he'd be sold into slavery. Now thrown into prison, maybe wondering whether he's going to survive that or not. But God showed his hand of mercy and grace to Joseph. And realizing even in that, faith did not get Joseph out of his trial. Faith got Joseph through his trial. For us in realizing that and grasping those things, as we learn about Joseph in the midst, he's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting. And God reveals over and over again how good he is. God reveals over and over again how his word can be trusted. He demonstrates over and over again how his sovereign hand guides every event in life. And Joseph knows these things and he believes these things, and yet God has him sitting there just waiting and waiting and waiting for these things to be fulfilled. You know, so as we look at that and we look forward to those things, there's a quote by George Mueller, which may even be helpful as we wait expectantly. He says, if you wait, expectantly wait, you will find that the waiting is not in vain, and that the Lord will prove himself a counselor, both wise and good. Joseph is just waiting for the Lord. He's a victim by the world's standards in any way you look at it. But yet Joseph says, I am an instrument in the hand of God to do his will and to wait for whatever it is that he has planned for me. And the same thing is true of us. Now, however you may feel or whatever circumstances you may be in, know that God is faithful. Know that God is merciful towards you, and he desires faithfulness from us. And let's walk and live by faith, confident that he is a good and a wise counselor. Let's pray, and we'll sing and be dismissed. Dear God, we thank you for this morning, and Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, what a blessing it is to us that there is hope when things seem hopeless. though the wait may be long, Lord, whatever your plans are, they are good. And Lord, while we're waiting, help us just to be faithful. Lord, to wait with an expectation that you, and the knowledge that you are good, and there is joy, and there is hope which is found in you. And Lord, we just pray that you would just guide us and direct us, just again reminding us of your wonderful and your wonderful glorious truth and the love which you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.